As you can see, and maybe some of you remember from last time I stood up, I'm a person who likes to have people participate in what I'm doing up here. So if you have got the word on you, either by phone or by hard copy, I encourage you to get it ready, because I should be asking some people to read out, or just opening it up for people to read out some scripture as we go through. I have overdone it on scripture, as most people do when they first come up and preach. It's always too much, but we'll work through it and see if I can keep to Andy's 20 minutes starting from now. So this message comes the last few weeks. It's really hard to use it. The last few weeks I've been looking at the word, because I need to present something in my studies on forgiveness. So I thought, fantastic. Andy's asked me to come and share, so I can share on forgiveness. And then 2 mornings ago, I woke up 4 o'clock in the morning, bright as anything, think, oh, what have I woke up for? I thought I'd have a little pray, and then the Lord just dropped something into my spirit. I thought, oh, really? That doesn't seem to make sense. I've got this thing on forgiveness to give out. And what it was Isaiah 52:7. And the first part of that says, I'll read it rather than trying to remember it. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of who? Of him who brings the good news. So I thought, okay, Lord, where do I go with this? What does it mean? I want to give a message on forgiveness. So I went back to the notes on forgiveness and found that in Matthew 26, verse 27, 28, it says, and he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So how does that relate to Isaiah 52:7? Because we have been called, haven't we? We've been called to give the message of the good news. So the good news is that Jesus has shed his blood for our forgiveness. He's come into the world, sacrificed himself to forgive us of our sins. This is seen all through the New Testament in lots of places. For example, Acts 5:31, Acts 13:38, Colossians 1:13-14. If you want these, I'll tell you where they are, or I can repeat them later. But there's some others in there as well, which, first of all, if someone would like to turn to Acts 2:38, if anybody's prepared to read that out for me, that'd be wonderful.
Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. And if someone's got Acts 10:43, please, could they read that? So you can see the pattern we've got emerging here, that as through the New Testament, they're talking about Jesus, and they're just reinforcing the fact that Jesus come to us for the forgiveness of sins, so that we can receive the forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians 1:7, it also says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. So that's the word. That's what the word is saying to us. That's what we're hearing from the New Testament. So how does that affect us? How does that bring us into play with this? Again, in Isaiah we see that it says, how beautiful are the feet, your feet. That's what we need to keep going back to. How beautiful are your feet that you bring the good news. The good news of forgiveness in this case. Andy and Jackie have both got on to the passage in Matthew. In Acts 26, where Paul was talking. And it was the encounter that Paul had with Jesus. Andy took us to one part of it, and then Jackie expanded on that last week. And funny enough, we come back to it again, because it says here, "And I said," who are, this is Paul talking, "And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to anoint you as a servant and a witness to the things of which have been seen, which you have seen me, and those in which I will appear to you." Sorry, I've gone wrong there, but let me go to it. "Which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may receive forgiveness for their sins, a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So we see here in Paul's conversion, what we talked about last week, and how he was prodded into that by God, how he then is told that he is the one who has to go out and spread the good news of forgiveness. So, if that's as simple as that, that should be my talk over with, really, shouldn't it? We've got to go out and give forgiveness to people. That's easy, isn't it? Is it easy? Is it easy to forgive people for what they've done? We declare forgiveness through Jesus, but does that mean it stops there, that Jesus forgives? So we go out and we say to people, "Jesus forgives. Come to church, Jesus forgives." But the word is a much, much more in depth than that, because we have a responsibility in this, not only to go out and tell people that Jesus forgives you, but we have been given the same mandate to go and forgive others. What does the Lord's Prayer say? If someone would like to turn to Matthew 6:12 and read that out for me. Okay, and that's repeated again in Luke 11, where Jesus asked, how do we pray? What do we need to say? And within that whole prayer, he comes to the point where he says, well, we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who debt against us, sin against us. So we have a role to play, that as we forgive, then God is going to forgive us. That's confirmed in other places as well. But who are we to forgive? Are we to forgive those people who have upset us, those people who have done wrong to us? Yes, of course we are. But, put another way, what if we don't forgive? What happens if we don't forgive? Someone could look. Did you just read that out, Susan? Could you stay where you are and just read 6:15 for me, please? Was it you who just read that? So we need to look at that, don't we? So it's spun on its head. So it says, if we do not forgive our trespasses, then God will not forgive us. So sometimes when we hold that forgiveness back, when we feel like we can't forgive, then we need to just consider what God is saying to us. God is a faithful God, and he wants to forgive everything we do. But there are actions, there are choices that we make which God will or will not act on. So if we choose not to forgive someone, then God's going to hold back some of the forgiveness that we need in our lives. Are we only called to forgive out of choice? Because we have that choice, don't we? We have that choice. Someone does something and we have a choice to forgive them or not. Or even someone might say, come to us and say, oh, I'm really sorry, you know, didn't mean that, and you might be resented, you might feel pain, and you're not prepared at that time to say, I forgive you. You might hold something that just is eating you up, is causing you pain, but you just can't let go of this thing that this person's done. So what does the word say about that? Luke 17:3-4. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in that day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Simple. It's easy. The word says, oh, just keep forgiving. Just keep forgiving as someone comes to you. But have you ever been in them situations where someone does something and you say, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. And the next week they do the same thing. How easy is it then to say, yeah, oh, don't worry about it. That's fine. I forgive you. Carry on. And then the next time. And it goes on and on. It's not as easy as we think. It's not as easy as what it says in the word. But they're the things we need to be stepping into. They're the things that we need to say, oh, Lord God, help me in this. Lord God, you need to take me through this point of forgiveness because I can't go there on my own. I can't do this. I've forgiven this person so many times and still they're causing me pain. And the word says, forgive again. Forgive again. Forgive again. If we don't forgive, in fact, let's go to this part first. This is where we need. So if we get to that point where we know we've got to forgive, yet our heart is hard, what is the word? Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. So we go back, don't we, to that point where it says, compassionate hearts. You know, I believe as Christians, we have a desire to have a compassionate heart. We have a desire to be humble. We have a desire to be meek to those around us. But sometimes we're not sure what that means or how that looks. But God knows. And that's where we need to go. We need to go to Him. We need to identify in Him what we want and we desire in ourselves. Because that's where the forgiveness is going to come. That's when we can go to people who've hurt us badly at times and forgive them. Because God forgave us for everything that we've done and we're going to do. So if we don't forgive, God's a loving God. Of course He is. But let's go to Matthew 18:34. Anybody want to go to Matthew 18:34 and read that for me? Yeah, just carry on with that, Bernie, please.
That's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart.
Yeah, so, wow. That's Jesus talking. Jesus talking about just going on from a parable and then just saying to the people, I don't mind repeating it at all. And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers. Bernie's version says to be tortured, which is actually the right translation. So, until he should pay his debt. It goes on then to say, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. So again, we go back to that point of, yes, I can forgive someone, but if I don't do it from the heart, then Jesus says, well, I might as well throw you to be tortured. Because it's worthless, it means nothing. Just to say the words without saying it through your heart, then it's just dirty rags, really, isn't it? As it says in the word later on. So we need to consider that. We need to get our hearts right before we forgive. We don't have to forgive in the moment that we're asked to forgive. If someone says, oh, forgive me, say, yeah, okay, you know, we'll come together and we'll meet or whatever. But you need to search your heart before you just blurt out a forgiveness, especially if you've still got something hard in your heart. But, obviously, that's the the bit that we all think, oh dear, really? I've come here for a nice good word that's going to lift me and build me, and there I am being told I'm going to be thrown into jail or tortured if I don't forgive someone. How depressing is that? I'm not coming back here again. I've had to stand and read. I've had to listen to people, other people talking. Oh, dear, this guy, he's got no idea, has he? But it does get better, honestly. Because if we go into Hebrews 10, it says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord." This is taken from Jeremiah 31. "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." He then adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering of sin." Now, this is clearly a completely different message if I want to go into it, but basically what we're saying is the old traditions of sacrifice for sin and all the things they used to do of the shedding of blood have been taken away because it's been done in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So this, the beginning of this, is the covenant, the new covenant that Christ is making with us. It says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them in those days." That's us. So Jesus has made that new covenant with us. And that is the good news that we need to be carrying forward. Okay, that Christ has come to make a covenant with the people of love and peace and forgiveness. So back to Isaiah 52:7, that it's our feet that he's talking about. "How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who bring good news, who publishes peace, who brings the good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." That is the message. That is what we're called to do. So your feet are the feet that's going to take you into places where you can reveal Jesus. Now, I didn't fully tell you what happened also when God woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, because it went on from what Isaiah said, and I had to ask the question, what do you mean by that, Lord? And over the last probably 5-6 years, maybe not quite that long, God's put in my heart about the verse in Scripture. And that verse is John 13, and I won't read all of it, I'll just pick out some bits. But it says, and it's talking about Jesus at the Last Supper, and it's when Jesus disrobes and washes the feet of the disciples. And what really struck me was some of the words that he uses. And he says, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." There's so many things in the Bible that we say, oh, we need to do this and we need to do that, and we make rules and regulations about. But there's not that many things in the Word that Jesus says, you need to do this, you ought to do this, because this is what I'm doing. "For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done." So it's not just giving you a comment, oh, you should do this as well. He's saying, do it as I've done it. "Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than the master, nor a messenger greater than one who he has sent." Sent again. So you've been sent. Now, I've had experiences, as I've said, over the last few years in different environments where I've been able to take on that role of washing people's feet. Now, a lot of people, most of you here, will probably cringe at the thought of someone actually washing your feet. But it's... in the environments that I've done it, it's been such a massive blessing for me to be able to do that and to see the outcome of that as well. I was in Israel 2 years ago, and we went to the one of the places, what they think was the the tomb of Jesus, the garden tomb. Some of you might have already been. And me and a friend, we heard this singing. So we just perched next to where this group of people, Indonesian people, were singing in their own language, just praising God, blessing God. And I said to the guys with, I said, Rick, I need to wash their pastor's feet. I really feel like I need to wash their pastor's feet. Bless Rick, he'll go along with anything. So he said, yeah, okay, well, we'll do it. So anyway, we sort of went up to the pastor who had broken English and said, you know, we want to bless you and pray for you. And he said, yeah, okay. So I said, I want to wash your feet. And he's like, you can see that just look on his face. Just like, oh, no, I don't want to do this. So we prayed for him. I said, well, do you mind if I wash your feet? He said, oh, no, I haven't got time. I can't. We've got all these people. I just felt that God wanted me to do that. So he said, yeah, okay. So sat him down, shoes and socks off, washed his feet, and God just broke out. The congregation just were in tears, the pastor was in tears, we were in tears, and it was just that humility of just coming and saying, you know, God wants to show himself lower than we are. He just wants to put himself in a position where he just wants to show his love. You know, that was just such a blessing for me to do that. And I think today I'd like to do that as well for those who can have their feet washed, because I know it's cold and a lot of ladies might have stockings and things like that on. Some ladies or some gentlemen might not feel comfortable, and that's fine. But there's a couple of people who would like to help me in just going around and washing your feet. What I normally do is, when I've done it in the past, is to just have the baby wipes, water ones, and then just a towel to wipe over. But I'll just give a quick another example. Is that in a lecture last year, I just said to the lecturer, I said, would you mind if I washed the people's feet in the lecture? And I just had the usual reaction, you know, well, are you okay if you think it's from God? Well, I do, yeah. And we invited people to come. And the comments afterwards were just, wow, you know, thank you. You know, God has really touched me in that environment. And so I encourage you, please, don't say you don't want it done just because it's an embarrassment. Okay, if it's a genuine reason, then that's fine. But just let God minister to you in this environment. So, Matt, I believe you want to just come and play some music for me. And then Susan was going to help, I believe. And who else? And you, Michelle. Yes, there was something else I asked. Oh, Jackie. Yes. So there's ladies who are prepared to wash your feet. I think with those three ladies, there's probably no need for me to do it. So is that a cop out? I don't honestly mind doing it, but I think sometimes you feel comfortable with ladies doing it. So Matt's just going to play some music. And the ladies will just come up, and just if you want that done, if you're prepared to have that done, then just receive it. And I apologise in advance for anybody who wants to come to Andy later and say, oh, it's not what we normally do in church. But